everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend John Couch. John engineering and producing the program on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster program Tuesday, the 28th of January, 2020. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Live line number is 790-2040. Lots to talk about during the upcoming hour. As CBS News just reported, the screening for the coronavirus will be expanded now to 20 airports in the United States from the current 5. That will pretty much, according to aviation officials, take care of about collectively 90% of all passengers from China will be getting screening on arrival in the United States. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on aviation, Captain Jeff Lattice, a highly decorated retired combat fighter pilot. Jeff is a captain at JetBlue Airways in the Airbus A320, the 321 as well. He has nearly 20,000 hours of accident-free flight experience. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. And yourself?
Everybody's worried about the coronavirus. I'm just curious, at JetBlue, are any precautions being taken about crews having to wear masks? They're wearing masks now on American Airlines flights that are departing to Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Beijing. Do you think this could get to the point where we would see this on some domestic flights?
Possibly. The bit of reason I'm sure you have a contributor that's a bigger expert in pandemics than myself, but from what I understand about this virus, it makes it more unusual than previous viruses, is that its incubation time is longer, they think. And so you might be a carrier and actually be contagious and not even know that you're sick yet. They think that it could be a week to 2 weeks before you actually come down with some of the symptoms in some of the cases. So, yeah, I think that if it continues the way it is, you could see it on domestic flights. As a matter of fact, one of the latest cases in the U.S. was just here at Maricopa County.
I just wonder, Jeff, have you seen some folks, now travelers, wearing the surgical masks? I just saw a story on CNN that doctors are saying that at this point it's not really necessary for folks to be to run out. And by the way, there is apparently a shortage of the surgical masks. Have you flown recently? Have you seen anybody wearing them?
You know, there's always been a few people for the last few years that you'll see wearing masks, whether they're taking extra precautions for themselves or they might think that they are contagious, or if they have an immune problem, whether they're doing chemotherapy or things like that, they usually travel in mask. But I haven't seen a whole lot of concern at the major airports, and I do fly a lot out of LAX and New York and Boston, and I really haven't seen a whole lot of concerns there. China is taking major steps right now to try to contain this, and basically not allowing people to come out of their major cities right now and travel. So we'll see. I think the next few days are going to be enlightening if this thing's going to spread really fast. Just between yesterday and today, the cases have doubled in China. So it seems to be on the rise, and it's very similar to swine flu or SARS or many viruses like that. It travels like a normal head cold.
You know, you would think, and this is a possibility, Jeff Lattice, the next step for airlines that do service Asia, like American, United, and some of these carriers that fly nonstop from the U.S., China may impose restrictions on any comings and goings of flights. I mean, that could go to that next level, probably.
They already have.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Hong Kong has cut their domestic flights to China down by half.
Wow.
And China has actually limited just about all of their flights out of country right now. So I think today they reported about 4,000 cases in the centers that this virus seems to be located at. Wuhan is one of the places, I guess, with population about 11 million people.
Yeah. Jeff, I want to transition to the troubled jet, the 737 MAX. Newfound problems mean another delay in the regulatory approval. Of course, the MAX was involved in two accidents in late 2018 and then in early 2019, killing 346 people. So the jet has been grounded worldwide now since last March, and now the schedules look like they've pushed it into midsummer and now perhaps into the fall. What's your thinking on that?
Well, the latest problem they found, I don't think, is nearly as severe as the previous problems. Basically, they think that when they run up the electrical lines through airplanes, they bundle them. And there's a wire bundle they think is too close to some moving parts, which could cause the wires to chafe. So basically, they're going to have to move that bundle of wire over, and basically, the wires go into the tail of the airplane. And they think that that'll be an easy thing to do. Most of the airlines have pushed their scheduling back until July to June right now. As far as training is concerned, it's not going to be nearly as complex as I thought as it would have been. Pilots aren't going to be necessarily required to go to the simulator to fly a 737 MAX simulator. They will eventually in their normal recurrent training that they do every year. But right now it looks like it's going to be somewhat of abbreviated training. There's some other things they've done on the flight control system that was malfunctioning that seems to be good changes, that pilots will have more control over the airplane where they didn't have control before. So I see good evolution happening right now on the MAX. I do think it's going to come back, and I think it'll probably be another 6 months.
The president of Southwest, Jeff Lattice, Southwest Airlines, says he thinks we're going to see customers come back pretty nicely. Some may take a little longer than others, maybe a month or 2 months, he says, but we're going to see them come back. Do you think he's being a little optimistic on that?
I would say there's probably a small percentage that are going to be really concerned about it and don't want to step on the airplane. From what I've read, and as we go over the next 6 months, I'm not going to have any problems flying on that airplane. I think that the changes that have been made, their mechanical changes as well as electronic changes, will definitely prohibit the airplane from doing what it did the two times that it crashed. Like I say, the pilots will be able to take over where they weren't necessarily able to take over as easily as Boeing was thinking initially. Now, the system will only activate once. Previously, it would activate all the time if it sensed a problem. Now it'll sense a problem and it'll only do it one time. The pilots will have a chance to recover the airplane, and it will not activate again after that. So there's procedures the pilots will take that will
Jeff, before I let you go, I know you like to greet your passengers on JetBlue when they come on board. Do you have some that don't understand they're in an Airbus and they're not in a Boeing product? Do you have some people?
Oh, yeah. You know, when this all started, you get people coming up, you know, hey, is this a 737? You know, it's like, no, it's not even a Boeing product. But you're going to have those people. They're not quite like you. You're a very studious guy when it comes to aviation, so you know your airplane.
I do. Thank you very much. Coming from you, Jeff Lattice, that's a great compliment. Thank you, Jeff. We'll let you go. Safe travel, right, safe Bill. Flying to you, Jeff Lattice, our Buckmaster contributor on aviation, Captain Jeff Lattice, who flies, lives in Tucson, but flies primarily out of LAX in New York on JetBlue. The Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, one of our great partners, Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're unloading all sorts of beautiful merchandise for the Zocalo Village, merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. You can get all your Green Things and your beautiful handmade furniture merchandise from Latin America at Zocalo Village, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Of course, we want to tell everybody about our favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve, so pleased the way things are going. Now they're serving breakfast. The grill's open, ready and fired up at 6:30 in the morning. You can do breakfast if you want, even right now. But of course, lunch is being served at Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. And of course, there's a link not only to Mona's, but all of our great partners here on the Buckmaster Show at buckmastershow.com. Up next, our Tuesday Moneymaker Report with Shelley Fishman. And Shelley's giving me a thumbs up. That means the market's had a little bit of a turnaround. We'll find out about that right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Additional support for the Buckmaster Show comes from Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, coming up February 8th in Silver City. If you like chocolate, it's the Chocolate Fantasia, a full day of chocolate sampling, even a chocolate parade. It's a three-hour drive. That's not bad at all. From Tucson to that beautiful corner of the Land of Enchantment, the southwest corner, and a great place to start your travel planning, Southwest New Mexico. .org for the complete list of wonderful places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
Here is the man we like to consult, and we're always pleased to have him with us in studio every Tuesday, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how's your week going?
My week is going fine so far, and yesterday was, of course, abysmal with the markets, and today we've recovered just about everything we lost yesterday.
Very cool. I understand there's news right off the wire concerning our deficit.
Yeah, the Congressional Budget Office has now projected that the deficit for 2020 will be $1.02 trillion, which is the first time ever over a trillion in a year. And they think that the actual deficit for 2019 will have been $984 billion. So this is very close to the forecasts that were done right after the tax reform bill of 2 years ago.
Let's continue our discussion, Shelley. Speaking of taxes, tax proposals, we'd like to kind of open that discussion up that's being talked a lot about on the campaign trail with the Democrats. Can you kind of summarize what's out there?
Yes, I can. And so let's just kind of be clear that we have tax proposals from both the Republicans and the Democrats. The objectives are very different. The Republicans are basically recognizing the fact that the middle class is feeling, you know, embittered and kind of has stagnated. And so they're talking about middle class tax cuts. Of course, they're not talking about any way to pay for those middle class tax cuts. And that always comes down to somebody saying, well, we have to look at the entitlements programs, and that's Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and fix those, which means cut those. So that's what the Republicans are saying. It's pretty much typical Republican economic policy that relies on a proven or disproven theory that says that it's kind of trickle down, that if you give the majority of the benefits to the job creators,
right,
that will trickle down to the rest of the population. That's been going on now for 40 years, and we haven't seen any evidence whatsoever that works.
What's new in these proposals?
Well, what's new on the Democrat side is that they're very clear about what their objectives are. And the first of the objectives is to reverse the 40-year history of favoring the rich. And, of course, that's resulted in the current income disparity and middle-class stagnation. The second objective, and this is equally as important to most of the Democrats, is to pay for the programs being proposed by the candidates. And, you know, you've seen Medicare for All. You've seen some versions of just universal health care. You've seen some proposals around eliminating student debt or making public colleges free for everybody. Those things are costly programs. And you've seen some proposals by Democrats to raise taxes on the rich or to impose one-time taxes on the rich in order to pay for those. And then the third important objective of most tax proposals is to talk about what we just talked about at the reopening of this segment, which is to restore some measure of budget balance. And that's has been traditionally an important objective of financial and tax policy, because the general wisdom has been that this deficit spending has to be paid for in the future, and the way to pay for it is that we give it to our children and grandchildren to pay for it, and therefore
commonly known as kick the can down the road.
You bet. You bet. Now, in the past couple of years, there's been a whole new way of thinking that has kind of bubbled up from the people who understand that we can't pay back those $21 trillion of debt that we've piled up. And so the thing to do, because we're a federal government and we can print money, the thing to do is to print money to get out of trouble. So the way you pay back this debt is by essentially printing money and pay back the debt with the extra dollars that you printed. Now, traditionally, that has always resulted in inflation. And in some cases, it's resulted in hyperinflation. You know, the example that's always used is, say, Germany in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have some evidence now in the past decade and a half to show that the Treasury can, in fact, do things that look like printing money to provide more circulation of funds that have not resulted in inflation. And this is what I always call, you know, physics and counterphysics. We really don't know anymore whether if you do something like that, not in the extreme, but in a controlled way, that the economies of the world, because remember now, the American people hold a lot of dollars, but those dollars or dollars are also held all over the world as reserve currencies and ways to trade products that are priced in U.S. dollars. And so we have this bigger bucket, if you will, to throw these cheaper dollars into, and it hasn't resulted in inflation, at least not that we can measure. So it's not clear whether that objective, at least this go-around, is going to be as important as the other two to the Democrats.
And the Democrats are all over the place, Shelley, when they talk about repealing the corporate tax cuts of 2 years ago, perhaps doing a wealth tax, impose a tax on stock and bond trades, normalize dividend and capital gains tax rates to an individual or a couple's marginal tax rate. So it and on it goes.
Yes. So what the Democrats are doing is looking for funding sources and looking in the most obvious places for funding sources. And by the way, I'm not saying that that's or implying that that's not the right way to do it. What I'm saying is that it is not likely that a combination of those kinds of reforms can get through Congress and be accepted by the American public in the bulk that they would be required to pay the bills that especially the more progressive of the candidates are proposing. So we will see some, if a Democrat is elected and if there's control of both houses of Congress, we will certainly see some movement towards some of the objectives that the candidates have been talking about. I think we'll see some kind of movement toward universal health care, probably a government alternative that gets put on top of Obamacare. As far as eliminating student debt, I think that's unlikely, but on a going forward basis, they could take a look at fixing the problem or reducing the impact of the problem. The other problems that we're facing that really do need to be addressed in a more conservative manner
Social Security,
yes.
Medicare.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because Social Security is going to be in trouble. It's not in trouble today, but we know pretty much the date that it gets into trouble. So we've got to do something about that. And there's two sides to any budget. There's the expense side and the revenue side. And one of the things with Social Security we know is that if we just tweak a couple of the revenue side pieces. In other words, do we continue to drop Social Security taxes off at a certain level, say at $115,000, $116,000 of earnings, or should we just let them continue regardless of how much you earn? Then there's the other side of the equation, which is, should we keep the current age 67, or should we tweak that a little bit too? So Social Security is a relatively easy fix, though it's always been considered the third rail of American politics. However, Medicare is much, much harder to fix, and it's already bankrupt. So we've got to find a way to fix that, and there's very little rational discussion about anything but raising taxes somewhere.
All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. You can find out more about Shelley Fishman at buckmastershow.com. And Shelley, I hope you have a great rest of your week.
You do. We'll be watching the markets and watching the flu and the vaccines.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We'll see where we go.
Okay. Thanks, Shelley. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include The Amazing 30-Year History, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass Tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Next Tuesday, 1 week from tonight, kicks off the very popular UA College of Science lecture series. 7 o'clock, Centennial Hall, admission free. This year's four consecutive Tuesday night lectures focus on catalysts of change, how scientific advances are changing the future of life as we know it. Joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Joaquin Ruiz is with us. He is now the UA Vice President of Global Environmental Futures, overseeing the university's research and education portfolio focused on environmental issues. That includes Biosphere 2 and the Desert Laboratory at Tumamoc Hill. Dr. Ruiz served as the College of Science Dean for 20 years. Congratulations. Good to see you, Joaquin.
Bill, it's a pleasure seeing you, and Happy New Year. It's the first time I see you.
First time we have seen you in 2020. New title, really kind of expanding on a lot of the very iconic things that you've been doing, namely Biosphere 2.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I am thrilled. I thank President Robbins for giving me this opportunity. Obviously, as a geochemist, right? Mm-hmm. It also brings back my original discipline to bear. And as you well know, global climate change is now so much upon us that doing things about it is quite important. And I'm anxious to get a lot of things done.
I mean, it couldn't be... You couldn't be positioning the university in a better way in an area that is so going to be a focus of the 21st century.
Right.
And all you have to do is take a look at what's going on in Australia and some other places, Victoria Falls in East Africa, the river that goes over the falls down to a trickle. I mean, we're seeing some really strange things happening with climate. So I think everybody's talking about it, and it's good the University of Arizona is so positioned to take, to do some real research into this area.
Right. And I think what's really important is one has to recognize that we have to go beyond being the chroniclers of global climate change to doing things to ameliorate what's going to happen and what is already happening. So that's my main interest, is that creating resilient programs or programs in resiliency for places that go all the way from mega cities to areas in all over the world that are becoming desertified.
This lecture series has been so popular, going back to 2006. This year's theme is Catalysts of Change. Things kick off next Tuesday. The title of the lecture next Tuesday is Life Beyond Earth. Then another week passes in our rapidly changing biosphere. The third week, the promise and peril of artificial intelligence. That's very interesting to all of us these days, right? And our world is changing faster than we are will be the fourth lecture. How would you characterize this set of lectures, Joaquin?
Well, the idea is the following. As all of the titles imply, change in science and technology and change in an environment is happening so quickly that we are having a hard time adjusting our heads around it. But the first lecture, to give you an example, I mean, everybody focuses on the data, right? The artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the first lecture, it was only in the 60s that we were putzing around trying to get to the moon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Right.
And we're getting to the moon. I mean, it was debated whether the money was well spent or not. But the bottom line is that the technology to get there was invented, and it was hard to get, and getting to the moon was quite a miracle. Now, we're talking without much hesitation about putting people in Mars. And we are going to do it, and we're going to do it faster than we think. And we don't bat an eye now when we talk about, well, you know, how did life start in this planet? 20 years ago, it was science fiction. 20 years from now, it's probably going to happen. So that we will figure out these things. So we're at an inflection point in our knowledge of various disciplines where our future is going to be something that's hard to imagine.
Talk a little bit about this. The promise and peril of artificial intelligence, I think, has a lot of people they're fascinated about how it's going to play out in our future lives. This right. is going to be an important lecture on February 25th.
Right. So the upswing of artificial intelligence is straightforward. I mean, we already see it in some ways with Alexa.
Right.
Right. Some of us, it may be a toy, mm-hmm. but if you are bedridden or if you're elderly or sick, it can be a wonderful thing. So there's much technology that's happening now, which is on artificial intelligence, which is machine language, including self-driven cars that will certainly change the way that we live. And the problems become... there's a lot of sort of hidden stuff. These machines, when they build their intelligence, they will be biased by the data that you put in it. So you can see, for example, a lot of debates in the legal community about how artificial intelligence can bias the way that judges could actually operate in the future, as an example. And of course, our belief that we're going to have our life in secret is hopeless.
Yeah, and you made a very good point there about, you know, artificial intelligence isn't created from nothing. It is created from the input that comes into it.
That's right.
It's as good or bad as what's going to be going into it.
No, that's exactly
right.
That's
a really important point.
And yeah. What people don't realize is when we talk about machine learning,
yes.
which is the basis of artificial intelligence, the machines are actually learning. So there are these algorithms that are created that the more data than you put in the algorithms, the more accurate that these algorithms will produce the results.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is when you have very little data to put into the machines, and then the machines decide on, just like we do, right? Mm-hmm. They make up their own mind in weird ways. Or when the data that are put into the machines are some way biased, and then that can make that's a challenge.
Coming up a week from next Tuesday, we'll be talking... that will be the lecture on February the 18th about Biosphere 2, and so much has gone on there. There's even a movie about the origins of Biosphere 2 that you just returned, I believe, from the Sundance Film Festival and took a look at the movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was the movie itself is not about the biosphere because it's mostly a although the biosphere is part of it, yeah. but it's mostly about this group of amazing people, really. Mm-hmm. I've only met a few of them.
That had the original idea? And that goes back a long way. I'm surprised telling me in the 1960s.
Well, this group first got together in San Francisco in the 60s. And, you know, interestingly enough, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of sex and drugs. So, they were sort of driven to do something special, and from there they went to New Mexico, where they built this ranch called Synergia, and they were all ecologists. You know, they weren't really ecologists, but they were interested in the ecology. Then, amazingly enough, they decided that they wanted to learn more about, because most of them were artists.
Yeah,
they decided that they wanted to learn more about the Earth. And they went and they, on their own, built this 80-foot concrete boat out of Oakland. And off they went around the world a couple of times. So they learned all kinds of things as they were going up the Amazon and so on. And then their big project after that was trying to understand how the Earth operated. Mm-hmm. All that part of the history gets a little complicated. It's not well actually presented, but it's there. and then the building of the biosphere, and then the 2 years that they were in there, and then when they then the drama of them leaving with the marshals kicking them out, the whole thing is just it's hard to actually believe that one could make this thing up.
They sure had the fundamentals right about how the Earth operates, and that's the bottom line, right?
The point of it all is that in the end, these folks were way ahead of their time.
Yeah.
In the questions that we need to address today for the betterment of humanity.
All right. February 4th, Tuesday, February 18th, Tuesday, February 25th, and then March the 3rd will be four lectures, part of the Catalysts of Change UA Science Lecture Series for 2020. Dr. Ruiz, this should be a great series, and people can find out more by going to very simply uascience.org, and they'll find the full lineup there. And again, this is a free event. Get there very early. It's very popular. Fills up quickly, right?
It does indeed.
People stand in line.
And people should know that this is my swan song with this lecture series.
What?
Well, I mean, it belongs to the College of Science.
There you go.
And the next dean of the College of Science will take it over. So mm-hmm. Everybody can buy me a beer.
Yeah, there you go, your swan song. But it's been a good run for you, certainly, with this lecture series. Joaquin, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
It's always a pleasure seeing you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Buckmaster Show continues in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We'll have our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I looked to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan, talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further. The folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back, Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, with this week's Arts Report sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, welcoming classic albums live. The Eagles, Hotel California, Saturday, February the 8th. Look to the Fox Tucson Theater for a vast array of live entertainment, community events, and classic film presentations. Pavlo in Concert is Friday the 31st of January. Then the classic albums live, the Eagles, Hotel California. That coming up on February the 8th. Winona and the Big Noise hit the stage on February the 9th. Oni DeFranco with special guest Jessica Hoop is on February the 13th. For more information, to view the full Fox event schedule and to purchase tickets, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson. Never a dull moment when it comes to our arts calendar, Mr. Gibson. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great, and you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Let's hit on some of these highlights we've got coming up.
Oh, my goodness, so much happening. Obviously, we love the University Museum of Art, and they have done a great job in trying to reach out to the community and expand what they're doing to let people know what the incredible collection they have and all the things that are happening. They have the Spring Community Day at the University of Arizona Museum of Art, February 8th. That's Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It'll be a cultural celebration and opportunities for you to make your own art, including you can learn how to make a caldo de pollo with several of the artists who have their current show there and enjoy a bowl of your own. It's free for the first 100 visitors. There'll be cumbia music, live cumbia music. You can use their letterpress, which is kind of fun and exciting, and see all the latest exhibitions, including other targets and hobbycraft artwork. There will be food. There will be selling hand-printed bandanas and totes. All kinds of things happening absolutely free Saturday, February 8th.
And again, the venue?
That's University of Arizona Museum of Art on Olive, right off of Speedway.
All right, very cool. What else is going on?
Well, you know, this one's a new one to me. I've missed it in the past, but they're having a Pasquayaki Festival of the Arts on this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Pasquayaki Wellness Center at 5305 West Calle Tarim. That's in the 85757. It's a free event for the entire family. It gives Yaki and other native artists of the area a platform to sell their artwork and perform. There will be children's activities, community mural that will be worked on collectively, delicious food vendors, arts, crafts, and the biggest lowrider show held in Southern Arizona this year.
Really? I did not know. Huh.
All new to me, but absolutely free, and I think I'm going to head out there. They've got a great poster for it online. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, that is at the Pasquayaki Village?
The Wellness Center, yes, on Tarim. I don't know. It's out there. Just look it up on Facebook.
Google it. All right.
Yeah. You can find it. It'll be worth the effort.
You got another one for me?
I do. We're in the midst of the Tucson Desert Song Festival, run by George Hansen, the festival coordinator. You may know him from the Tucson Symphony Orchestra. It's the 8th annual one, running from January 15th to February 16th, celebration of sort of the American songbook. One show I'm pretty excited about, this Thursday, 7:30 p.m. at Crowder Hall on the University of Arizona campus, Killer Bees. It's the New York Festival in Song in concert. Why not? It's four singers from the New York Festival of Song. They'll be performing music, the American Songbook, from Amy Beach to the Beach Boys, the hopes, struggles, and joys of 20th century Americans. All the composers will be last names starting with B, including Irving Berlin, Bernstein, Bolcom, Barber, Beach, and yes, the Beach Boys.
That's
a little
creative.
Bit of a stretch because they probably should be under W. But
that's a creative twist, isn't it?
Yeah. I know. Right? It sounds like a good time. Good to hear some beautiful song work.
Hey, and the Tucson Gem Mineral and Fossil Showcase, I consider that art. Some of these beautiful displays certainly are works of art.
Absolutely, and the construction thereof. Mm-hmm. The kickoff is this Friday, so in full earnest on Saturday. I was at the airport last night, and every ad on the baggage claim is for some gem show. it's the biggest one ever, by all accounts. 51 shows this year, so more and more happening. I don't know where we're going to fit all these people, but I'm very excited about it. It's such a remarkable event that happens, and that more vendors keep finding places to show their work is really encouraging. And some new hotel rooms came online for this year. Next year we'll have all those new downtown hotels as well, so we're going to just keep making this thing a little bit larger each year.
And you and your team at Visit Tucson, you've run the numbers, and the numbers are very impressive as far as what this means economically to the community, correct, Dan Gibson?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's certainly remarkable. I mean, it's millions and millions of dollars, and it's impossible. Even we talk about it in the sense of, like, what do people come and spend on hotel rooms and things like that. And, if you look at the rates over the next 2 weeks, and basically any Tucson property, you'll be, I think, probably stunned/pleasantly surprised by how much money is coming into this community. And we'll have sold out days. I mean, there will be, 4 or 5 days in the middle of the gem show where every hotel room in Tucson is functionally sold out, and that's pushing out to the Airbnbs and Vrbo's and all those things as well. It's really such a massive deal for this community. You may be waiting a little bit longer at your favorite restaurant, but we should be thankful for all the just cash that's rolling that makes our community better through this event.
And, of course, for local people love to check out all the exhibits, and there's the kind of the granddaddy of them all at the Tucson Convention Center. That kind of caps off everything with that great weekend down there. And I think it's around Valentine's Day this year, so that's perfect.
Yeah, I know, right? If you're, I am sure a lot of people's spouses and partners will be suggesting that they go check out the gem show. Like, you could just go, check it out.
There you go. All right, Dan Gibson, Visit Tucson. Thank you very much, Dan. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll call on you again. Thank you, sir.
I'll be waiting.
All right. The Buckmaster Arts Report, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, welcoming classic albums live, The Eagles Hotel California, on Saturday, February 8th. Tickets start at just $27.50 to enjoy this note-for-note, cut-for-cut live concert of the entire album performed by skilled vocalists and musicians of the classic album Hotel California. So that's going to be a great event at the Fox, and that's on February the 8th. Pavlo in concert is Friday the 31st of January. Winona and the Big Noise hit the stage on February the 9th. Then Oni DeFranco, a special guest, Jessica Hoop, is on February the 13th. For more information and to view the full Fox event schedule and to purchase tickets, please visit foxtucson.com. All right, lots of information in this noon hour on the Buckmaster Show. We try to keep it moving along with lots of information and content for you each day. On behalf of John Couch, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster, inviting everybody to stick around because we've got Dave Ramsey coming up, and Shelley was talking a little bit about student debt during his segment. I don't think a show goes by, John, that Dave Ramsey doesn't talk to somebody who has like up to $100,000 or more in student debt. Always interesting. That's next here on 1030, Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Have a great afternoon.